Hello and welcome to the Tech Raptor podcast. I'm sure for anyone viewing, things are looking a little bit different. Four person pod, it's going to be me, your DM for today. We've got Scrappy, Otten, and guest of the podcast, Zan. So welcome all. Oh. Thank you again for letting me lead you through a mysterious adventure.
We didn't have a choice, but yeah.
Well,
he kind of
signed up for it. That's the waiver.
I guess that was I could have not participated.
Like, he will kill our families if we don't do this. That is in writing.
I might get. I finally get some free time if that. No, just kidding. That's awful.
That's the sub clause in the forever DM is that I get to pick my forever players. And tonight I have picked you three.
Doomed in the afterlife to constantly be playing.
So today we are going to, like we've kind of done in the past with some one-shots, this time we're going to do a little bit of a mini-series. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be running through the start of the new D&D adventure. God, it's so shiny. It's so
it is very shiny.
To pick up. We're going to be running through the beginning of Vecna, Eve of Ruin. that was I or Eve.
He's definitely read it before.
I'm over halfway through this, I swear.
That spine is not creased even a little bit.
I got the digital version. It's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. And to alleviate anyone's confusion out there, this is not at all related to the Stranger Things character known as Vecna, which will perhaps become apparent later on in this episode.
Stretch has, he could do whatever he wants.
It's true. I was just under that impression for a hot second.
That's true. Let me quickly reveal that I've already shaved my head and I'll spend the next 20 minutes just like looking at you all like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm down.
So this adventure. This adventure.
Or after you get a call from Drake.
This adventure will begin with our party, a group of well-known heroes and workers, mercenaries, adventurers in the city of Neverwinter. Where we're going to join our characters at the start of this adventure is as they've all been summoned by Lord Dagalt Neverember, the current open lord of Neverwinter, as he is ready to have you all set out on a new adventure. Before we rejoin the characters as you're arriving at Dagalt's lovely manor, I would like to have you guys go around. Let's do it in circle to introduce your characters. Scrappy, you can go ahead and start.
Yeah, I'm a level 10. I'm a level 10 fighter. My name is David Harbour. former military, out of it because of a dark secret that I will never tell. I will take it to my grave, or maybe I won't. We'll find out in the next few weeks. Because of that dark secret, I have now found myself working in employ of Mr. Neverember, Sir Master Guru Neverember. So I'm kind of in his you know, care, let's say, and I employ my services, most of them being I can take a big hit and give a hit almost as big.
Dude. That's D&D. That's what I understand, that this is what that game is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But non-magic.
Just rock'em suck'em robots with a whole bunch more rules.
Yeah. A bigger rule book.
Okay, Otten, do you want to go ahead and let us know about your character?
I am playing as Stolid, no relation to David Harbour, I don't think. Well, no, we'll find out. He's level 10 paladin. He's a follower of the Church of Denir. He's the god of what, knowledge and culture and other stuff like that. Very obsessed with keeping knowledge preserved in some fashion, no matter what it is. Don't want to see it destroyed. And so I've joined the party to attempt to acquire more knowledge for preservation.
Excellent. And Zan, your character.
I am also playing a 10th level character. I am playing the wizard Libby. She is a Sparrow Arakocra from the High Libraries of Baldur's Gate. and she has a background in excavation and research on explorations to temples and ruins, has worked for Lord Neverember at least once before, sort of that perennial bumbling and broke researcher who goes off on the expeditions for the rich lords because that's where the pay is, and someone on these adventures has to hold the brain cell.
That's true.
Wow.
It's a heavy responsibility, but I'm willing to do it.
So we now descend down to the Neverwinter estate of Lord Dagult Neverember. The characters are ushered into his house and enter his audience chamber. Lord Neverember is busy discussing some politics with his advisors. He breaks off, you know, finishing his conversation and waving them away before he turns to you all, gives you a smile of recognition and says, "Greetings, my heroic friends. I'm glad you came. I dare say terrible events are afoot. Specifically, four prominent citizens have been kidnapped in the past several days. I count on your help to rescue them."
How prominent are they? Who got kidnapped?
We've got Eldon Keyward. He's a scholar who specializes in research on the outer planes. Indrina Lamson-Settle, an actor who, you know, frequents the high social circles of Neverwinter. Sarcel Malinosh, a sorcerer who also does some investigations into the outer planes, and Umberto Noblin, a gnome historian who's quite a well-known historical author.
Oh, I've read some of his treatises. I was just going to say, what might a kidnapping have to do with research expeditions? I'm just unclear why I've received this invitation.
Well, you see, where we're going, or where you're going, there'll likely be some investigating that needs to be done. We're not quite sure why they were taken, and we figure if we send a scholar along to do some research, by the time you will come back, you know, of course, with everyone safely in tow, that you might have a better idea of why they have been kidnapped.
Okay.
All right.
That we had some diviners from the House of Knowledge attempt to track him down. You know, thought that this would be something easy, and that led to the Halix Mausoleum in the Neverdeath Graveyard. But they couldn't see past the gate, so we need you accomplished adventurers and researchers to go in and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I could batter a gate down. We can go in and find out what's going on.
Excellent. I knew you, Dave Harbour. I've always said you're a good egg.
Yeah.
I think you'll be an excellent person to really knock some heads, figure out what's going on.
Yeah, no one's ever said I'm a bad person, for sure.
Insight check.
Roll insight. And depending on...
We've already revealed his dark secret. Already.
Depending on whether you are wanting to persuade or deceive, I'll have you roll a d20 and add...
I rolled an 11.
And am I rolling a persuade
or deceive? Roll a d20 and either add persuasion if you were telling the truth that no one's ever said anything bad about you, or deception that people have probably said some bad things about you.
All right, that's
and you
a
don't
15.
Have to tell me which one. Right, oh, I totally believe you.
Yeah, no, yep. Wow. No one's ever said I'm a bad person.
What a good dude.
Wow. How do you even do that? Like, I do my best and people still just, I always ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, I mean, people don't just go around being like, that person, bad person for sure. Yeah, you have to really ruffle some feathers, right?
So, before you leave, we'll give you some information about the graveyard. I'm not sure whether any of you have headed to Neverdeath Graveyard before. So it's got two connected cemeteries as well as mausoleums that go underneath the ground. There's the main graveyard where, you know, the city's finest are laid to rest. And then there's the pauper's graveyard where the rest of them are. Mm. So we reckon you'll have to head into the mausoleum and head underground and investigate from there.
Do you know how big this mausoleum is?
Yeah. Ooh, say if I was to have a gridded map in front of me, probably like...
As most architects in the city would.
As you have in your brain, just not known.
He walks over to a shelf and pulls out a large blue scroll and flips out what looks to be a very loose approximation of the top of the graveyard and kind of where the different plots are. You see that there's a whole bunch of very funny pun-based memorial plots in there.
Like
I haven't been to the Haunted Mansion in too long. he says it's about 200 by 300 feet, 400 feet. Pretty sizable. It's a lot of sprawling chambers underneath.
Any idea what's taken up residency there? Or if something has?
What we do know is that for a number of the priests to not be able to see through whatever shielding it, it's not good.
And that in all four, we assume all four people are there, or we think all four people are there?
All divining on all four of these who were taken, it all led to the same location. Okay. Yeah.
Did they all know each other? Is there a connection betwixt them?
That's exactly why we hired you. You're asking the right questions. We have no clue what links these four.
Okay.
Right. Other than they're prominent figures within the community.
And within their respective
disciplines. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, stranger things have happened, right?
That was fast. Actually, you didn't wait on that one at all.
Okay. So are we going to rewind to call Zan out for the ruffling feathers as a bird person if we're going to start?
No, I got that. I felt like you should fine. Just let that joke fly on its own.
Stranger things indeed, Mr. Harbour.
And then you look at the camera and you wink.
Yes. Yeah, my character is just Jim. I'll be looking at the camera frequently.
Yeah. It'd be a pretty shit.
My character is just a sparrow in a hugely oversized witch hat.
Yeah. Okay, so after getting a little bit more information about where to go, you quickly manage to make your way to the Never Death Graveyard. Once you reach the Never Death Graveyard, walking around, you do see that there's a collection of, you know, within the high gated walls of the graveyard, there are some wandering zombies and skeletons, but to a high level party like you, they pose no challenge. So we're not even going to engage them. As you continue through the Never Death Graveyard, you do reach the Halix Mausoleum, and approaching the front, you see that the doorway is, you know, slightly ajar, leading down. As you step into the main chamber, and as we do that, we will go ahead and flip over to start the session in D&D Maps.
Oh boy!
And this is there. We are.
This is definitely a case where if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, there is video along with this on YouTube. We are all looking at the map right now. You'll see it on the video.
So as you step in, the towering stone mausoleum in Neverdeath Graveyard cluster near the wall separating the main graveyard from the Pauper's Graveyard to the west. Halleck's mausoleum itself is a squat, unassuming granite block in the shadow of larger monuments to the west and south. Its metal double doors bear a rusty, broken chain and a padlock that hangs off the door. It creaks open as you're able to step in. Immediately as you step through, you see that there's six stone coffins, three to the left, three to the right, with different names, birth year, death years, covering the coffins, all, you know, weather worn even within the safety of the mausoleum itself. And immediately ahead of you, you see steps that lead further down underground to where you suspect these four high society figures have been taken. Mm. So getting started off, Libby, what would you like to do?
I would like to quickly check my surroundings, one, to see if there is any evidence of the area being disturbed, like boot prints, tracks, anything like that, and take a peek at the coffins and see if there is any potential familial relation between the folks who are buried here and who we're looking for.
Okay, so you're going for are you aiming for an investigation here or just like perception in general?
Yes. Yes. My passive investigation is 25.
Whoa.
Holy shit. Okay.
You have like eight eyes?
She's just a sparrow and like little sort of, her wizard robes are also sort of like sparrowy colored, like rust and cream. And she's got a giant, giant witch hat and she pulls out some like very large Coke bottle glasses that just blow her eyes out to this huge owlish proportion.
So I like the passive is good for like when you're walking into spaces as you're like specifically looking around and searching for stuff. I am gonna have you roll for investigation.
Okay, cool. So I have hanging from the brim of my hat, blowing a tiny snot bubble as he sleeps, my bat familiar Bartholomew. And I will give him a little tickle so that he will wake up and give me the help action.
Okay. Roll of advantage.
That is a natural 20.
Tell us everything.
For a 30.
Jesus. We know exactly where all four of them are,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She has found out all we need to know.
Like we got wall hacks.
I'd also really how does Bartholomew assist you in this? Because I'd love to get that image together of your two flighted creatures.
Well, I, being sort of a day-based flighted creature, am not the best in dark, confined, and contained underground spaces. But Bartholomew, being a bat, is. So as I sort of wake him up, he sort of cheeps slightly and gives his little echolocation bursts. And because I can share his senses as he is my familiar, it just gives me a little more comfort in this sort of dark enclosed space.
Okay. Yeah. So then as you investigate and look around, you know, in terms of echolocation, a lot of the structure of the room is very well known. You look around at these different coffins. Looking around, you see that the coffins themselves are empty, aside from a few scraps of cloth and bits of small bones. Though as the echolocation does continue to ring out, you hear a moaning grumble from down the stairs. Taking a look, you see that things aren't letting me move. Whites begin to come up the stairs.
Those sons of bitches.
So, as we are immediately starting, I will open
whoa.
Up.
Whoa. Hold on. You get to erase the fog of war like it's Photoshop? That's cool.
That is very cool.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
Dude, yeah. It's great.
Okay, so... first thing first, give me a moment and I will pull up the encounter tool And I will have you guys roll.
All right. So I think with this, everybody's within 10 feet of me, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have 5 feet. The aura of the Sentinel. Everybody gets +4 to their initiative.
Whoa.
Oh, sick.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, damn. Yeah, I'll remember this one. I was looking through my stuff. So I guess we should roll that, huh? So, damn, I got a lot to my initiative.
Oh, we have a kitty on board.
Yeah, that's my IRL familiar. Come here. Come here.
Looks like a bat. Okay. All right. So, David, what was your initiative that you got?
That is a 14 plus 4. 4? So, 18.
Okay. And Libby?
I got a 19 plus 4. 23.
Oh.
23. Oh. Holy crap. Okay.
Damn. I got a 19 total.
Okay. So with that, we're actually going to end up starting with Libby at the top of the initiative.
Here we go.
Yikes.
Now I should start double checking my stuff.
Mm-hmm. yeah, Stolid, you're up next, and then it is 3 of the whites.
Oh, no.
Okay, I think from where I am, I am going to cast web down the stairs at the whites. It is a 20-foot cube, so I think I can get the 3 at the bottom. I think white A is a little bit too far up the stairs, but I think I can get the 3 at the bottom, and I basically want to just those 4 squares at the bottom, make that all be webbed so that they can't all...
Oh, sorry, it's 20-foot square, not 20-foot radius.
Oh.
No, I think you were doing it correctly, because it's 20 feet on a side.
So that'd be 4 squares. What's the exact squares. Description on the spell, sorry?
You conjure a mass of thicky, sticky webbing at a point of your choice within range. The webs fill a 20-foot cube from that point for the duration. The webs are difficult terrain and lightly obscure their area.
Yeah, that's correct. So
each square is 5 or 10, I forget.
5.
Each square is
5.
Okay.
So all of this green space is now webbed up and difficult terrain for them. And then part of their turn, they need to make a save.
Yes, so each creature that starts its turn in the webs or that enters them during its turn must make a dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, the creature is restrained.
Okay, well, this is going to probably be a great embarrassment for them. Anything more with your turn before we move on to Stolid?
No, I'm good.
Okay, Stolid, you're up.
All right, well, I am going to run. Oh, can I move my guy, or did I just tell you where to move him?
You can move him.
Oh
shit!
Oh, magic!
Ooh.
I go right in there to the two of them.
Okay.
Get up in the business. and I think I'm just gonna let me double check. I don't want to do anything fancy schmancy yet.
Yeah, you gotta save the cool stuff for later.
I'm just gonna take a swing at A there with my greatsword.
Okay, go ahead, roll the hit.
Goodness.
What did I get? What is it? 15 plus 7. 22.
22 hits. Roll damage.
Hell yeah. 2d6.
32.
Oh, 2, 5. So I got 2 and a 3 for 5 plus 3 is 8. So I did 8 damage to him.
Okay. 8 points of damage.
I guess I'll just hit him again. Or attempt to, anyway.
Man, these extra attacks are really making these martial classes OP.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give them to business.
Oh, I rolled 20.
Oh,
nat 20.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, roll the dice,
double the amount on the dice, and then add your modifier.
That's right. So I don't roll double the dice, I just double the 2 dice. Or do I roll 4 dice?
You roll the same I don't care. Statistically, it averages out. So if you want to huck more dice, man.
No, that's fine. I got a 6 and a 4, so 10 doubled, 20 plus the 3. So 23, right? Because you don't double the plus, right?
Correct.
The additional. So
this white A is immediately looking extremely hurt.
Damn, he's not dead.
That was powerful, powerful shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So it's now this.
That's it.
The start of the white's turn. So what do they need to make a save on for their dexterity saving throw?
17.
Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go. That's going to be a 4.
Do they escape? So, do they make it out?
Nope. So this one is now restrained. But being restrained...
I can still go after me, I think, right? Ooh, I should look at my...
I think you can still... Yeah, speed becomes 0.
But they can still attack, right?
Yeah, he can attack, but it'll be an attack at disadvantage. So he's going to reach out and attempt to life drain you at disadvantage.
Hey, son of a bitch.
That's going to be a 19 to hit.
That is my armor class, 19.
Okay, that's going to hit.
You bastard.
He's going to life drain you.
Okay,
go
ahead and take 8 points of damage, and then can I also have you make a constitution saving throw for me?
Oh. Oh boy.
I got a
5 on that one.
Okay.
The 8 points damage, right?
So you take 8 points of damage, and that's the bad news. The good news is you're at max health.
Yeah.
Because your max HP also reduces by 8.
Don't like that.
And then it's going to go ahead and swing at you with its long sword again at disadvantage.
All right.
And that's going to be a 6 to hit. So that's not going to do anything. And then we're going to move to White C, who's going to make a dexterity saving throw. 21. So he is not restrained. Wow. He's going to move forward and he's going to make 2 quick long sword attacks. 16 is not going to hit. And neither will a 17. And then we'll get to White D, who's going to make another dexterity saving throw with an 18. Does an 18 save the web?
Yeah, it's 17.
Okay. He's going to move forward, but he can't really get in there. He'll come over here. And you'll see him pull out his bow, which he is going to go ahead and try to take a few more shots at Stolid. For a 12 and an 18. So neither of those hit, as well as we move to David Harbour's turn.
All right. Okay. I'm here. I'm ready to
do Mr. Harbour
the exact same thing that our other shielded tanky boy does. So what is that? 5, 10, 15, 25 feet. I'm just going to swing. Was it white A or white B you were attacking?
I hit white A. White A is almost dead. It seems fucked up.
White A is looking very hurt.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to swing my Morning Star at white A.
Okay. Go ahead, roll to hit.
That is a 15 to hit.
15 hits?
Ooh, okay. I was thinking that might not, but okay. It's a 1d8 plus 3. 2 plus 3, 5.
Okay. Swing with the Morning Star and do 5 points of damage. He's still standing. You've kind of like caved in part of his shoulder as he's looking very much worse for wear.
Okay. And then I'm also going to use my bonus action to do Shield Master Shove from a Shield Master feat. So if I take the attack action, I can use a bonus action to try to shove a creature within 5 feet of me with my shield.
Okay.
So that'd just be a straight up and down strength check?
Yeah. That'd be a contested strength check.
Gotcha.
So it will roll strength as well.
Okay, that's a 9.
Okay. It saves.
All right. Okay. And then when you use your an extra attack when you use your attack action. That's not your bonus action, right? That's just you get two attacks.
That's just
right?
An extra attack.
All right, I'm going to swing it again. Swing that Morningstar again.
Okay.
All right, so 16 plus 7. That is a 23.
23 definitely hits.
All right. And a d8 plus 3. That's a 10 damage on white A.
And with that 10 damage, with his 9 HP remaining, you clobber him out of existence.
Beautiful.
That is white A down just as it's about to get to his turn.
So amazing.
We can go ahead.
Oh, I want to use my I want to use the last bit of my movement to move up then to where white A was.
Okay.
To block out the yeah.
Trample on his body. Disrespectful.
I did. Hey, I'm not the religious one here. Well, I'm just here to hit shit.
Just
it turns out there is rest for the wicked after all.
I heard that he tore pages out of library books.
Oh shit. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Oh wait, did he remember them and write them down later? We don't know.
Speak with dead. Who has to speak with dead? We gotta get to the bottom of this.
All right. So as combat continues, Libby, it's your turn. Stolid, you're on deck again. We've got one restrained white, two unrestrained whites, and one is completely out of the web.
Okay. I am going, seeing that there is a wall of fuck off weaponry and armors in between me and scary people, I am going to, where? How do I want to move down to like the top of the stairs so that I can see more of what's going on, but I don't know which icon it is that I click so that I can move my own person.
It's really counterintuitive. It's you click none of them. You like click off from any of them selected, and then that lets you move your piece.
Cool. Awesome. So I want to move to about there, and then whites B, C, and D haven't been hit by anyone yet, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, we haven't done anything.
Okay. Well, white D is rude and has left my webbed area. So I am going to light him up with a Toll the Dead. I need him to make a wisdom saving throw, please.
Ooh. Wisdom saving throw.
I too have this spell. It's pretty rad.
That's a 6.
That's going to fail. So he's going to take 2d8 necrotic damage. We'll see if that works on him as a white.
I nod approvingly at this action. This is a good action.
13 damage.
Okay. So you send out the Toll the Dead, and you definitely understand that there's an impact as it begins to rattle around in its own, you know, what's remaining of its flesh and bones. But you do feel like that impact wasn't as strong as it normally is.
Noted.
Yeah.
Did some damage, just not as much. Is there anything more with your turn?
I think that's me. I am feeling very comfy behind the frontliners.
Behind a stolid wall.
Yes, behind.
You found safe harbor. It is.
I found safe harbor behind a stolid wall.
Yeah. And that's the podcast, folks.
Hey.
Okay, stolid, it's your turn, and then it's going to be the whites
well,
up again.
I think it's time to hit. B was restrained and it was kind of getting disadvantaged stuff, so maybe I'll go for C here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a swing at C with the great sword.
Roll the hit.
I rolled a 15 plus whatever a bunch.
Yep, that hits.
15 plus like a billion. I don't know.
Hey, 15 plus math.
Yeah.
So I rolled very poorly. Bad. 3 plus 3, so 6.
Okay, damn. So that's gonna be.
I could
6
do
points of damage.
Yeah, I guess I'll just swing again, very boringly.
Second verse, same as the first.
Yeah. Nope. Hit 9 altogether.
Okay, nothing. All right, with that, we're going to have white B go ahead and take some longsword attacks at disadvantage again. That's a 20, so that's going to hit.
Hitting me or...
Hitting you, yeah.
Me, okay.
That's a natural 20?
A dirty 20.
Okay.
Well, crits don't affect me anyway, so I don't give a shit.
Oh, well. My bad.
Bring it on.
It rolled max damage, so that's going to be 10 points.
Oof. Damn.
All right. And then it's going to take a swing at Dave Harbor.
Oh, no.
I got a question for you. Since I have the Sentinel tech, is that before or after you tech?
Reaction. That would be at any point. So you can go ahead and use that right now if you want.
Well, let's just do it.
Wait, so okay. Reaction? What is your react action?
So it's I have Sentinel. So if someone within 5 feet of me attacks another target other than me around me, I can then attack them.
Okay, nice.
Basically, so, just a free attack on not
free attack on. Yeah.
Roll the hit.
Nope. 10.
Also. he rolled a 7 to hit Dave Harbor. So that's okay.
Geralt's getting sidelined. Geralt disappointed me.
Okay, it's the start of White Sea's turn, and he's not. He's still in the web, and he rolled an 8 for his save, so he is going to also get webbed up there. He's going to take 2 swings at Dave Harbor at disadvantage. Does a 17 hit?
21 is my AC.
Okay. Damn. And he's going to try again. This one will also try for a life drain. 14, not going to hit.
Nope.
White D is going to go ahead and take 2 quick ranged attacks as he lets fly 2 arrows. One is a 12, and then the other one is worse. Dave Harbor
working on his aim. So is Harbor, do you have a shield? Are you rocking a shield?
Yeah, I'm rocking a shield. That's why I've got that +2. Because you're at 19, right?
Because I would have been 21 also, but I was like, you know what? There's something rad about being two-handed and just in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow, wearing armor must be nice. What's that like?
So Dave, it's Harper, heavy. It's your turn, and then go back around to Libby and Stolid.
Okay. I guess I'll just start swinging at C. We've been hitting C, right?
That's C the was the one. I think I only hit it once. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll just swing the Morningstar. Oh, that's a nat 20.
Hey.
Yes.
All right.
Nat 20. Roll the dice, double the number on the dice, and then add the modifier.
That is a 2 times 2 is 4 plus 3. 7.
Woo!
7 points of damage.
Big 7. Here's a question. If I try to shove him, but he's entangled, is that just a waste of everyone's time?
No, he would still get pushed back. His speed is 0, but he can still be manipulated.
So you'd
probably not that useful right now, though.
Actually,
right?
I'm gonna remind us all, because all of us aren't absolute the greatest of the rules. When they're restrained, you also have advantage against them.
That's right. It's good to know. All right, I'm just gonna keep
that in mind.
I'll use my extra attack.
So you should have advantage now.
Yep, roll advantage.
I'll just roll 2 of my d20s.
There you go.
14 and 15 plus 7.
That's gonna 22. That's gonna hit. Jesus, plus 7.
It's the proficiency and then my strength, right? So plus 4 and plus 3.
Fucking
That's a 6 plus 7, 20, or 13.
Okay, 13 points of damage. This white is beginning to look hurt. Not that bad, though. Libby, it's your turn.
Okay, so seeing that necrotic and tolling the dead is not doing it, I am going, still not happy with White D, so I am going to try and light him up with a firebolt. I would like to have Bartholomew kind of clinging to the rim of my hat, like a la missile guidance system, and give me the help action.
Oh, you're bringing it down like the
visor. Like a periscope, like on the submarine.
It's just like me with a bat over my face, over my glasses, just like cheep cheep cheep.
While it snores along, as you see.
Yeah.
Familiars act on my initiative and take regular actions, but they cannot attack. But the help action is a regular action.
The help action lets you aid a friendly creature in attacking a creature within 5 feet of you. So if it's a ranged attack, you wouldn't be able to help. Can totally for story, it can like
be
creating a little scope.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Does a 15 hit?
That hits.
Cool. He helped me in my heart. That is going to be 7 fire damage.
Okay, 7 points of fire damage. Kind of what was already like, you know, decaying remains is now like slightly ablaze. The pungent aroma begins to fill the space. Doesn't smell like good.
Hot roadkill.
Yeah. Yeah. Before it was just roadkill, now it's hot roadkill.
Mmm.
Okay. Anything more with your turn, Libby?
Right up David Harbor's alley there.
Because he's rocking a bow, I am going to take one step back up the stairs around the corner from him.
Smart move.
Okay. Stolid, it's your turn. You've now got White C looking pretty hurt. B is still untouched.
Yeah.
D has just taken that fire damage. But you remember they are restrained, so you have advantage on these attacks.
I will take a swing at C.
Okay.
20.
That's not a 20.
No, I got a 25 to hit.
25. Yes.
Yep. 2d6. So we'll hit C here. 4. Ooh, that's not bad. 7 plus 10. So 10 altogether.
Okay, 10 damage. Still up. Another strong hit you reckon could bring him down.
All right, we'll go for him again.
Another big hit.
What's that? What number is that? 9. I got a 16.
That hits.
All right. Hey, sweet. Oop. That. I'll scroll that twice. 5, 3. So 8 plus. So 11.
With that 11 points of damage, you take him out.
Nice.
Woo. Yeah.
This one is cleaved in half, and he drops it before the webs like completely take him over. Now leaving that opening space. Anything more with your turn?
No, I like that we have the stairs blocked. I'll stick here.
Okay, so this white is going to attempt to take 2 more swings at you. Both of them kind of, as he's spent more time in this webbing, trying to like flail around, continues to get like further and further stuck into this web and just isn't even able to reach you at this point. He's like gnawing at you towards you, but just can't move anywhere out of this space.
Gross.
The white in the back is going to take 2 more longbow shots at David Harbor. The first of which is an 11. The second of which is a 7. Doing shockingly bad.
That guy hasn't done shit.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
he's really
like roadkill too.
Yeah.
Dave Harbor, it's your turn again, Libby, and then Stolen.
So, question: if we touch the web, that we have to make a dex saving throw, right?
Correct.
Yes. The web is indiscriminately sticky.
And is it a floor? It's a cube, right? So it's not just floor; it's like floor to ceiling webbing.
The web goes out. But because it has no structure, it just hits the ground.
So yeah, it's all on the ground. It's like thick spongy. If you were ready for it to be gone, I can dispel it.
You could also jump it, right?
That was what I was thinking. Could I do a red, heroic,
dude?
Could I do a heroic jump?
Do it.
Jumping in D&D is broken. What's your strength stat?
Plus 3. It's 16.
Oh. You can jump so fucking far.
So jumping.
I can use my armor charge to give myself the spell jump. So if I really need to, if I really need to go far,
you can get anywhere.
Yeah,
you basically can fly.
I mean, yeah. If I use 2 charges of my armor, I can levitate.
So sorry. What is strength score?
Strength score is 16.
Okay, So if you get at least a 10-foot run-up, you can long jump 16 feet.
16 feet. Mm. Oh, and as a champion, I get plus 3 feet to my running jumps. I think that's a fighter thing.
Hell yeah.
I was just reading through. Yeah, remarkable athlete. Add plus 2 to any strength dex or con check that I don't have proficiency in. And when I make a running long jump, I can add 3 feet to the distance.
Beautiful. Yeah, so whoa. You can long jump all the way and like end up on the other side of the web if you want to. Like, yeah. And so making it across here is going to be easy.
Yeah. All right. I'm going
to. You can do this without a run up. Let's be honest.
Yeah. We could hit white. Y'all can take care of white B, right? I'm going to clown on this longbow loser. All right. So I'm going to like heroic jump over the webbing completely.
Beautiful.
And attack white D.
Oh, is it so?
See it happen.
White B does use its reaction to try to reach out to you, but again, it's held back in this web and is not able to do a thing. You land over at white D and yeah, take some swings, man.
All right. Well, question. The fog of war, is there space to the left of him?
Where his big brother comes around the corner. Yeah,
is that a question for later?
At the moment, what you know is, and just the numbers are not anything cryptic. That's literally just I've numbered the regions to help remind myself.
It's part of the ARG. If you're watching at home,
he's been playing a lot of Animal Well. This is obviously a tie-in. He somehow made it.
No. No.
Special guest Billy Basso.
Yeah. Okay, so it looks like, yeah, there isn't enough room for me to probably stand to the left of him, right? Or west of him.
Yeah, you could, you wouldn't be able to squeeze into that space because it's between him and the wall.
Yeah, exactly. All right, damn.
Okay. Are you wanting to shove him into the web?
I don't know why that seems.
I'm going to push him into the fucking trap.
It just seems so funny like to be like, look how cool I am. Like, get in there. Like, that's
just shove him
all that effort for that.
Yeah. I grapple him? No, we'll just attack.
grapple and roll in the web.
Yeah. No, I'll just swing at him. All right. That is a 16 plus 7, 23 to hit.
23 fucking hits.
Oh, 5 plus 3. Hey, right?
8 points of damage.
Not too shabby. Yeah.
That's really good.
Oh, and then another attack.
Yeah. Una mas.
Ooh, that's 18 plus 7, 25.
Yeah, that hits.
And 4 plus 3, 7.
Okay, 7 points of damage. Anything more with your turn?
No.
Okay, Libby, you're up, then Stolid.
I'm going to do on my turn.
Make a heroic jump.
Peek out from around this corner, and I'm going to try to shoot him with another firebolt.
Okay, go ahead.
25.
25 hits.
9 fire damage.
Okay, he takes 9 points of fire damage. He is still up, but is looking very hurt.
All right, I'm
anything more with your turn?
Nope. I cast spells and I stand out of the way.
Okay. In that case, then Stolid, it's your turn. You've got white B in front of you that still has not been touched at this point.
He hasn't been touched. And
he's just hanging out. Man.
He seems kind of stuck. He seems so.
He's very stuck right now.
He is. He's an ant. But he's in the way of protecting knowledge, so he must go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to attack him.
Okay.
I got an
advantage.
18.
Is that at advantage?
Yes, I did. I rolled 2. The other one's 3.
So. 18 hits.
All right. Where's my thing? 5 plus 3, 8.
Okay. 8 points of damage. 8
damage. And we'll go after him again.
Take your other attack.
I got a 26.
That hits.
Ooh, that's a good one. 10 plus 3, 13 damage.
Ooh, nice. Big hits.
That's very nice.
And that should do it.
Okay. So we're going to let this white take his longsword attack, attempt to hit you once more. That's a 20 to hit. Oh my God, he's doing
son of
something.
A bitch.
Wait, and now
he's going to do 5 points of damage. And then he's going to try to swing at you again. With a crit fail, he's going to sink further into the web.
This guy's just sad. I feel like we should just leave him.
One moment of greatness.
He's kind of like, ooh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
At the moment, you've got White D holding on to the last of his health, and White D stuck slowly sinking deeper and deeper into the web. If we want to, we can just coup de grace this fight and progress forward as you dismantle the rest of this force.
David Harbour, take care of that White D.
Yeah,
you know what you said.
You...
Yeah, I was I was trying so hard to make a white people joke, and I was like, no, I shouldn't. That's low hanging fruit.
No.
But White D isn't.
The guy that said Stranger Things like in 5 minutes starting.
You're not truly a DM until a player has sexually innuendized something that you've said in the middle of combat. So that's all good. So yeah, over the next few seconds, you make quick work of it as David Harbour, you pummel that D all the way down. And
quickly
if anything,
off the White D
stolen, you kind of just wrap up the one stuck in web and we're just going to leave him in the corner here.
Just put him to bed. Put a blankie over him.
He might know something, that some valuable information that the world needs to know. Actually, I don't really care whether the world needs to know it. It's knowledge. I'm not here to judge its importance.
So with that now, the threat has been dispatched in this room. You can all, recollect yourselves in this chamber.
Yay. So my max health's been reduced to 76, is that correct? Or reduced 8 points. I don't know how to change that on here, but
if you just tap on your health, there should be like
it brings up a thing. It says temp HP, like to add it, but I don't know how to like take it away.
There should just be an HP override.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Or it says override max HP.
Do I just type it? Oh, there we go. Okay,
you just type in what HP it is, and then it should do the rest.
Perfect, it is done. Nice.
Okay, so you're now in this chamber. Kind of as you get a chance to properly look around, you see that the stone stairs that you descended have led you to a large subterranean chamber with stone coffins sitting on sturdy shelves. Part of the western wall has collapsed, creating an opening into another chamber. And this is the room where, four pale dissected warriors wearing wicked-looking armor used to be.
Well, one still is.
Are those like bookshelves?
Those are coffins.
Coffins.
Gotcha.
Are they opened? Are they closed? They seem closed.
They are closed. You can investigate if you'd like.
Do we need to fight
more
whites?
What if there's a book in there or something?
I'll check the names on them at least.
Yeah. We'll have her take a look.
Yeah, go ahead and either roll investigation or perception.
Mm-hmm. Are we back to the type of thing that Bartholomew can assist me with?
Yes.
Great, because one of those was a nat one. 21 investigation.
Okay. And is there anyone else searching?
Yeah, I'll search. I'll look around. I'll look for any scraps, anything around. Any kind of paper.
Okay, go ahead, roll investigation or perception.
Oh, God. They're both terrible. Investigation, sure. Hey, that's not bad. Roll 14.
Okay.
There you go.
So I'll say for you with your roll of 14, one of the coffins you open, you find there's four wool cloaks and two wide hats.
Mm. I'll leave them where they be.
This doesn't match the kind of look of decay of the rest of the place. This looks like it is neatly folded and placed there. So as you shift them to the side, a potion drops out with a transparent liquid in it. Kind of as you look through it, you find your view of what is beyond it clouding.
Ooh, can I take a look at that?
Yeah, do what would I recognize? I'll just hand it to you. But I don't know what this is.
If you want to roll Arcana, you can see whether you recognize it. I would love
to roll Arcana. We'll let her do it because I am a dumb idiot.
Who loves knowledge.
Yeah, I love stuff to know things. I have no idea what any of it means.
I rolled 26.
Okay. In all of your research and your studies, you're very familiar with this, especially when you've been needing to get through dangerous situations. You know that this is a potion of invisibility.
This is a potion of invisibility.
Wow.
I start wildly flailing about to see if something is here.
No. You drink it, and then you are invisible.
Well, yeah, but what if someone else is invisible?
Yeah, what if someone else drank something?
Is there any empty potions around?
Then they would be invisible.
Roll to hit.
Oh, shit. Who's standing next to you?
A 12.
A 12?
Yeah.
You swing your weapon out, and it cuts through the air, not impacting anything.
Beautiful. I have solved a riddle for us. Nothing very nice in this room.
So, with your extremely high investigation, Libby, one of the empty coffins that you open, you notice has a false back in it. And this swings open to reveal a secret door that leads further south.
Secret tunnel.
Interesting.
Ooh. So we've now got...
What? Oh, I see. As we're getting down into the mausoleum, what is the light situation like down here?
Good point.
As you move further away from the entrance, you do realize that unless you have dark vision, you do need some kind of light source.
That's right. I don't think I have. Where would I see dark vision? I don't think I have it.
It'd be under your features and traits.
Yes, features and traits. I am going to have Bartholomew perch on the brim of my hat, and I can transfer my senses to his. So I'm going to wear him like a GoPro, essentially, because he has blind sight.
Okay.
Just to start, I was reading something that I forgot that we all need to try to remember. Is that if you're within 10 feet of me, including me, you will all get +2 bonus to all saving throws.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're within 10 feet of me.
Okay. Pretty good aura.
Yeah, just keep that in your brain.
Okay.
And you can't be frightened.
Whoa, there's a super cool S rune carved on this secret tunnel.
Whoa.
It's been here since 2002.
Oh, the ancient times.
Whoa. All the Zoomers don't know what we're doing.
If I equip a torch, does that mean I have to get rid of one of the things in my hands?
No.
Okay. I've got torch.
I think I would join him in the torchness.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys now have torches shedding some light around you.
I'm going to turn off bat vision because that's so bright.
So we've now got two paths ahead of us. So which way would you guys like to go?
I would like to step into the west just to
I am with Mr. Harbor on this.
Just to see what's there.
Okay.
Do I have a sense of how recently the secret tunnel has been used? Like, is the dust disturbed at all?
It looks very dusty. Like, this is surprisingly ill-used.
Okay. Hmm. I don't think they brought them through this tunnel.
More intrigued in it, though.
Okay. So as you step through to this other uneven chamber, you see that there are roots that are protruding through cracks in the ceiling. There's a stone stairway in the southeast that has collapsed. Mm. So that's this. Mm. And the nearby wall has crumbled. There are three doorways to the north that are shut, and the middle door bears a new-looking padlock on it. To the west, there are stairs leading to a small balcony that overlooks the room from 5 feet above, with just enough for a door painted with an eye.
Like the letter or like an eye?
Like eyeball. An eye.
Like okay. An eyeball.
Eyeball.
Okay. Well, I've seen this room. I really want to see what's in the secret tunnel.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, that's where I would hide some knowledge the world does not have but needs to have.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can quickly backtrack and take a look around as you move by this really cool S.
Whoa. And you step. So cool.
I'm writing it down.
The ancient text see it. From 2002.
You step out into a small clockwork alcove. There are rusty standpipes and interlocking cogs that cover the walls in this small alcove. All of the cogs here you see on the wall are all like jammed together and they don't move at all. Looking back at the way that you came, you see that what was a concealed passage from where you came in is quite an obvious doorway from your side. And you also see that there is a doorway to your left. And that's kind of it for here.
Like to the west.
So like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here. Should we keep following the secretness?
I think so. The cogs are suspicious.
Are you going first or am I going to go first?
I can go first. I've got the shield.
Oh, I got another question for you while we're figuring stuff out. With lay on hands, can I use that on myself or does it have to be someone else?
No, you can totally use that on yourself.
Okay.
You can lay your hand on yourself as much as you want. Be careful, though. You may go blind.
Well, that's a... I'll just take out one of my eyes and put a new one in. I'll go purchase a new one. Don't you worry.
Excuse me?
It's a secret paladin trait. You wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't say it. I'm one of them. I'm a robot.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, you're a warforged, of course.
Yes. Obviously.
Yes.
I think that's really, you know, good of us. Just not worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to continue through the secret passageway?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, revealing the next room as well. Pipes along the south wall of this room disappear into the wall and the ceiling. A complex series of cogs and four hand-turned wheels connect to the pipes.
I think we found the internet.
So you've now got these.
Internet?
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, I guess you guys don't have that yet.
Okay, Marty McFly.
Arcane strips.
We have really cool S's and your kids are going to love the internet.
Can I try to see what the pipes do at all? Like, is it... are they water pipes? Or are they steam pipes?
Yeah, if I touch... If a pipe, is it got a sensation? Is it cold, warm?
Roll investigation.
Oh.
Roll to touch.
Okay.
You go blind.
I rolled a two. Two. I can't tell.
You go blind.
Oh, no.
I rolled a dirty 20.
Oh, Jesus. So Stolid, as you reach out and clutch onto a pipe, you go, oh, yeah, I can't feel things.
Then I stare at my hand for a while like, what is going on?
Am I pipes?
Am I related to this? Yeah. Is this once one of my kin? I'm very confused.
How come the pipe has no mouth? Aside, you would just gently place a tiny feathered hand.
What's going on?
Why don't I take a look?
You managed to quite quickly discover that, yes, these are water pipes, and these valves control the pressure through all of this pipe system that you see. You kind of understand, it probably takes you 5-10 minutes, but you kind of get that, you know, by moving certain hand wheels, you can either increase or decrease the pressure.
Mm. And can we go west?
Water in these pipes goes to something.
Yeah. Is the west way open?
Yep, the west way is still open.
So we could continue into another room.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if it does control stuff, maybe we need to look at other rooms and see
what they do. Instead of start turning knobs.
Yeah. So I lead west still.
Okay. You continue further west as you come to a large room with a fountain in the middle.
Ah.
Oh, so we could have found this just by going through the other room.
Yeah.
It's a dungeon. Man, secret tunnel. I never said it was a good secret tunnel. you've got to pay extra for that shit.
Well, at least when we respawn for the bonfire, it'll be a quicker way to get to
That's true. We got the shortcut. Fountain.
Yeah.
So stepping through, you see those rusted pipes that you were just looking at continue to run along the ceiling, along the walls and ceiling, and water flows from nozzles in those ceiling pipes. In the center of the room, it's a deep stone basin that's set into the floor, and it's filled to the brim with water. The surface ripples as water droplets continue to fall down.
So is it like drops, or is it like a stream, like a lot of it, or just bits?
It's like a light sprinkle.
Okay.
And then as you look around, you see that there's a few exits from the room. You've got here to the west. It looks like there's another passageway to the south. This again looks like it is locked, like padlocked. And there's another way out. As you do look further, though, the ripple on the water surface begins to shake and shift. And
before the water was a bad idea,
a water elemental and a water weird pops out and begins to lunge towards you.
Ah!
Wait, a water weird?
Yeah, a water weird. It's like a smaller version of a water elemental.
All right.
Sure.
But as we launch into combat, this is where we're going to pause. This is where we're going to pause this session. And so we will come back rolling initiative and seeing
how
we fare against the water elemental and water weird. So,
gotta get wet.
Oh, gross. Oh.
Like water off of Arakocra's back.
That's the saying. That's what I hear.
Is that the saying?
Yep.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. No. That's it. Though. Just go watch it. We're just saying the name of the show now. Yeah.
It's we're waiting for Netflix's royalties to kick any moment now.
Yeah. Well, now Phil's going broke, so we got to get something.
God.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to end off with part one of Vecna Eve of Ruin. If you're enjoying this, you know, definitely come and check out next week as we move into part two. And also definitely check out techraptor.net for the latest in gaming and tabletop news and reviews. By the time that this episode is up, my full book review for Vecna should be up, depending on my pace. It'll definitely be up by the second episode. Mm-hmm. But from all of us at TechRaptor, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching.